Okay, we've been doing sugyas in Maseches Yuma. So in recent Daf Yomis, we've been talking about Sir Mishlech. So generally, since we started the series of sugyas in the Daf Yomi, I've really tried to stay away from sugyas that relate to the particular Yom Tov that the Masechta was about. Like throughout Pesach, we didn't do anything related to Pesach really, and throughout Yuma so far, we haven't really done anything related to Yom Kippur because it's so off in terms of the calendar. But we had so much recently, and again in tomorrow's Daf, about the Sir Mishlech, and the truth is, it's unfortunately, it's been no more nogeil l'maisa to us around the time of Yom Kippur than it is l'maisa to us nowadays. Without a Beis HaMikdash, we don't have a Sir Mishlech anyway. So I figured it's kedai to see some nice Torah on the Sir Mishlech in terms of how it functions, defining what exactly the mitzvah of the Sir Mishlech is, what the Sir Mishlech accomplishes. So we've been doing a lot in the Daf Yomi. Most of what I'm going to say, pretty much everything I'm going to say, is taken from Rav Soloveitchik's Torah. There are two primary sources where Rav Soloveitchik's Torah on Yom HaKippurim, at least that I saw, on the Avodas Yom HaKippurim come from. Number one is he has a Shiurei HaGrid. His son-in-law, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Shreva Rav Shlema, put out a Sefer Shiurei HaGrid of Rav Soloveitchik Shiurim on the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, and Rav Michal Shorkin also put out a Harei Kedem many years ago on all the Mo'adim, and he has several pieces on the Avodas Yom HaKippurim as well, and on the Sir Mishlech in particular. So we'll start with a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah in tomorrow's daf, so we'll get a little bit of a head start. The Mishnah in source number one on page two over here, the Mishnah says, Amar lo l'kohen gadol. So we've been going through in the daf the Seder Avodah, so we went through how the Kohen Gadol shechts the par, and he brings the par, the dam of the par, lifnai v'lifnim, and he sprinkles it one time up, seven times down, then he takes the cup of blood back out, then he shechts the seir, he shechts the seir apnimi, the seir that's the goat that's meant, that's l'Hashem, and he takes that blood and goes one time up, seven times down, lifnai v'lifnim, and then he takes the blood again, and he goes, he sprinkles blood again by the parochas, and then he sprinkles blood again on the mizbeach, on the mizbeach haktores, and then we start getting into the mishnayos about the seir la'azazel, the seir that goes out that gets sent out all the way to the cliff where it's going to be shoved off the cliff, and we learned in today's daf how they'd shove it off a cliff and until it's halfway down the cliff, it already is completely dismembered, broken up, evarim, evarim. So this Mishnah picks up at that point. So after they already took the Seir out to the Midbar, Kohen Gadol doesn't do that. Kohen Gadol stays in the Beis HaMikdash the whole time. So he's in the Azara, he gives over to the Shliach. The Shliach takes it all the way out. The Shliach has accompaniment, he's not all alone, he's accompanied by an entourage of people who encourage him, and he takes it all the way out to the cliff. He has 9 or 10 rest stops along the way till he gets there, but ultimately he gets there. The Kohen Gadol is way back in the basement. He has no idea what's going on, when the seer is thrown off the cliff, when anything is happening. So at some point they tell the Kohen Gadol, Higia seer lemidbar. The seer got to the midbar. He's already in the desert. Uminayin yodin shegia seer lemidbar. How would they know that the seer actually got to the midbar? So they had a system of figuring out how much time it would take for the seer to get to a point where we would consider that point to be the midbar. And once that happened, then the Kohen Gadol would go likros. He would go to read the special parshios that he was supposed to read. Now the reading that he would do, he would not do in the Azara itself. He would go out to the Ezros Nashim to read from the Torah, to read the special parshios. So the Gemara says that apparently we see from here that once he gives seir the midbar, nasas mitzvaso. As soon as that goat gets to the midbar, so the mitzvah is already done with that goat is already finished, and that's why the Kohen Gadol is allowed to move on and continue with the reading of the parshios, continue with the avodas hayom of reading the various parshios. So it turns out that according to this Gemara, according to the way the Gemara says it, right, you see it in the Gemara at the end of the source number one, so Hakamashman, the Ksav Rabbi Yehuda, Kivin Shigir, so the Midbar, Nasis Mitzvah. So that we see that once the Seer gets out to the Midbar, so the Mitzvah is already done with the Seer. Must be that it's already over, it's already finished. From the fact that we let the Kohen Gadol move on with the Avodah and continue to read, once it gets to the Midbar, must be that getting to the Midbar is all you really need to accomplish. It would turn out, according to this Gemara, that let's say you held otherwise. Let's say you held that the Seer is only considered to be Nasis Mitzvah. So that the mitzvah is already done with it once it's actually shoved off the cliff. Not when it gets to the midbar. It gets to the midbar way earlier. It has a long walk through the midbar until it gets all the way to the cliff where it's shoved off of the edge of the cliff and gets killed. Let's say you hold that that's part of the mitzvah of the Sayyid, that it's nas mitzvah only when it gets shoved off the cliff. It would then follow that when can the Kohen Gadol first read from the Torah? When it gets shoved off the cliff. Meaning the Gemara makes this very simple equation. The Gemara says that if the Mishnah tells me that as soon as the Kohen Gadol hears that the seer is in the Midbar, that's when he's allowed to read the Parshios. So the Gemara says, oh, it must be that when it gets to the Midbar, that's when it's not Nasas Mitzvaso. Otherwise he wouldn't be allowed to read the Parshios. So it turned out that if you wanted to hold that, if someone else would hold, if there was some other Tana, which we'll see in a moment there is, if there's some other Tana that holds that it's only Nas Mitzvah when it's shoved off of the cliff, then it would turn out that only the Kohen Gadol can only read the Parsha once it's shoved off of the cliff. Good. So that's what would follow from this Gemara. Now, in today's daf, we learned that before they would shove the goat off of the cliff, Mahoya Osa, in Daf Samach Zayin Amud Aleph, the Gemara says, Mahoya Osa, what would the Mishnah says, what would he do? Cholek Lashon Shel Zuhuris. He would take a red strand and split it into two. Chetzio Kasher B'Sela, V'Chetzio Kasher B'in Shnei Karna. He would take half of the strand and tie it onto a rock that was right near the cliff, and half of the strand tie it onto between the goat's horns, V'Dachva La'achorav, and he would shove the goat off of the cliff, v'miskalgal v'yorin, the goat would roll backwards off of the cliff, v'loi magil chatziar atchanase varam evarim. And by the time it got halfway down the cliff, it was already dismembered into a whole bunch of pieces. So says the Tos Yeshanim on tomorrow's daf, on Samuches Amud Beis, where we said that, when is it Nasas Mitzvaso? As soon as it reaches the midbar, it's Nasas Mitzvaso. Says the Tos Yeshanim, that's against the Gemara in today's daf. Because the Gemara in today's daf tells us that we put the red strand on the goat before we shove it off the cliff, and then when does it turn white? After we shove it off the cliff. Why does it turn white after we shove it off the cliff? Because that's when you did the mitzvah. That's when it's done. Now there's kapara. The turning of the strand turning white is symbolic of kapara for Klal Yisrael. That's what the Gemara says, that when they first used to put it in a very public place. They used to put it by the Pesach Ulam, where everyone could see the strand of red, and everyone would see if it turns white or not. But then it became either very exciting or very depressing. If it turned white, everyone would get very excited, which is nice, Simcha and Yantif. But if it stayed red, then it was extremely depressing, and a person's supposed to have Simcha and Yom Kippur, so they thought that wasn't a good idea. So they'll keep it pretty secret. They have the guy who had to walk the goat all the way out to the cliff. He's the only one that gets to see if it turns white. But the sugya on Daf Samach Zayin, the sugya in today's daf, seem to assume that it only turns white once you shove it off the cliff, which means that it's Nasas Mitzvah, so only once you shove it off the cliff. So to summarize everything we just did until now, in today's daf, what apparently we learn is that our Mishnah, our Gemara holds in today's daf, that the goat is only Nasas Mitzvah, so it's only finished once you push it off of the cliff. Only then it achieves Kapara. In tomorrow's daf, we're going to learn that when is it Nasas Mitzvah, so according to the Mishnah in tomorrow's daf, as soon as it gets out to the midbar, it's already Nasas Mitzvah, so, and that's why the Kohen Gadol is allowed to start reading the Parsha at that point. So Tos Yishanim points out that it's a stira, it's not a stira, he says machlokas. Today's daf goes against tomorrow's daf. There are two shitos in Tanayim over here. When the goat that sent Lazazel, when it's considered to be Nasas Mitzvah, so is it when it first gets out to the midbar, or when it gets shoved off of the cliff? That's fantastic and that's fine and there's nothing wrong with that. You can have machlokas in Tanayim, that doesn't bother us. What bothers us is if you have a Rishon that paskins like both shitos in Tanayim, because you can't, if it's machlokas, you can't paskin both ways. So you take a look at the Rambam. The Rambam, in source number 4, in Hilchos Avodas Yom HaKippurim, in Parag Gimel, Halacha Zayin and Ches, it's a long Rambam, we're not going to read the whole thing, but the Rambam writes that they would make these flags to let the Kohen Gadol know when the Seir actually got to the Midbar, that Darkios Hayosin Umanifin Besudrin Kadesh Yedu Shegiasu LeMidbar, that way everyone should know that the Seir got to the Midbar. Great. And once it got to the Midbar, v'kivin she'egiel the Midbar, yatsa kohen gadol ezras nashim likros b'torah, then the kohen gadol goes out to read from the Torah. That's the beginning of halacha ches. Kohen Gadol goes out to the Ezras Nashim and he starts reading from the Torah. From that Rambam itself, from that statement of the Rambam, that they would wave the flags to let the Kohen Gadol know when it got to the Midbar, and as soon as it got to the Midbar, he'd go and he'd start reading from the Torah. So which daf does the Rambam Paskin like? When does the Rambam assume it's Nasas Mitzvah? So seems very clear that the Rambam assumes it's Nasas Mitzvah. So already as soon as it gets to the Midbar. It doesn't have to be shoved off the cliff, like tomorrow's daf, as soon as it gets to the Midbar. Fantastic, that would be great. Problem is, in the very same halacha, in halacha Zayin, the Rambam describes how we would tie what we would do with the red string. And the Rambam writes, on the second line of page 3, second line from the top, Ketzad HaYa'osa, what would they do? Cholik Lashon Shal Zahoris Shebekarna. They would split the red strand on the horn of the animal, Chetzio Kosher Besela, it's still red, and half they would tie on the rack, V'chetzio Kosher Ben Shtei Karnav, and the other half they would tie between its two horns, V'docho La'achora V'miskal Gal V'yored, Lo'ye Magia L'chatzi Arat Shunase Evarim Evarim, etc. So the Rambam says that it's still red when they're tying it on the horn and they're pushing it off the cliff, which is way after it got to the Midbar. So apparently the kapara only happens after you push it off. So how could the same Rambam, who just told us that once it reaches the Midbar, that's when it's Nasas Mitzvaso, and therefore the Kohen Gadol is allowed to move on with his regular avoda, and he's allowed to go and continue to read from the Torah, that same Rambam's going to tell us, no, you know when it's Nasas Mitzvaso? When you shove it off of the cliff. It's mamish in the same halacha in the Rambam. Not only that, in Hilchos Avodas Yom Kippur and Parakei Halacha Chav Beis, source number 5, the Rambam writes, Dach v'nafal asayir v'lo meis. What if you push it off of the cliff and it doesn't die? So what would you say? So, well, one would think it really depends whether it's considered Nasas Mitzvaso or not. Do you need it to die for it to be considered Nasas Mitzvaso? So it says the Rambam, Yered achra v'yamisenu b'chol davar shememiso. Chase after it and kill it, however you can. Ve'evari sirzen mutar bana. Once it's dead, then the evarim are mutar bana. But only if you then make sure you go and kill it. Why? Even pushing it off the cliff doesn't do anything unless you actually kill it. It's only Nasas Mitzvaso when it gets killed by being pushed off the cliff, or it gets killed after being pushed off the cliff. But it's got to get killed. Before it's killed, it's not Nasas Mitzvaso. So that could fit with part of what the Rambam said in the previous halacha, right, where the Rambam said that you have to push it off of the cliff with the red around its head, but at least you need to try to kill it, or to actually kill it in order for it to be Nasas Mitzvaso. How could that same Rambam Paskin, that they would let the Kohen Gadol know as soon as it got to the Midbar, and as soon as it got to the Midbar, he's good enough. That's good enough to continue with the avoda of the Sayers. That's the difficulty in the Rambam. Now, in order to answer this Rambam, Rav Soloveitchik says, let's ask another question. He says, this whole din, we should have been bothered at the very beginning. This Mishnah in tomorrow's daf. The Mishnah tells us that as soon as it gets to the Midbar, they wave some flags and they let it be known to the Kohen Gadol that got to the Midbar, so now he can get on with his life and he can do what? So what does it say? He can learn from the Torah. He could read some parshios. What's the point? The point of L'chora is that he's not allowed to do avoda until he finds out that the Seer is done. Reading from the Torah is avoda? Where's the avoda in reading from the Torah? Why is the Kriyas HaParsha Tolui in the Gemar Mitzvah of the Shiluach? Why does he have to finish the Shiluach before he reads the Parsha? I understand. You're not allowed to start another avoda until you finish the Shiluach. Reading from the Torah is not an avoda. Kriya is not an avoda at all. So, the L'chora, what you have to say is, and Soloveitchik points this out in both of the Svarim, in both the Shirei Agrid and in the Koran Harei Kedem, that what you have to say is as follows, that the Maisa Shiluach is part of the Avodas Hayom, meaning, it's not just that there's a guy chosen to bring the Seir wherever it has to go, off to this cliff, to shove it off of the cliff. Part of the avoda of the Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippur is to give it to this guy and make him his shliach to bring it to that place. If it's part of the avoda of Yom HaKippurim, that means that the Kohen Gadol needs to do that avoda in the Azara. meaning it's part of the avoda to actually hand it over, and therefore it needs to be done in the azara. If you look in the Rambam, Hilchos Avodas Yom HaKippur, Perek Beis, Halacha Beis, look at the Rambam, source number 8. Umekadish yada v'ragla, v'ovid avodas hayom, kol aviduyim im ha'agrala, uzrikas adamim, bifnim, v'aktaris ha'aktaris, b'kodesh ha'kadashim. What's the Rambam doing? He's giving us a summary of all the avodah the Kohen Gadol does in Yom Kippur. The viduyim, the hagrala, the zrikas adam, burning ketores in the kodesh ha'kadashim, umoser hasir l'mishalcho la'azazel. And he counts that as one of the avodas, giving the seer to the guy who you're going to send to bring it to the Azazel. Umotie Muria Parva, seer and Israfa, Lusrefa. So all of it, all of the rest, is what we would normally classify as avoda. But the Rambam includes on the list of avodas, Moser Seer L'Mishalcha L'Azazel. So it's Kimat explicit in the Rambam, that's considered an avoda. Not only that, in Hilchos Avodas Yom Kippur and Parak Dalet Halacha Beis, source number 9, Va'achar kach mishaleich hasasir lemidbar, umotzi emori par, v'sir sheichnas dam lefnim, v'nosim b'kli. Again, amongst all the avodos, the Rambam includes on the list giving over the seir to the fellow who's in charge of bringing it out. And this fellow, the Mishnah said, doesn't have to be a Kohen, it's an anybody, it's whoever, some guy. They were makbid for a tekufa that it had to be Kohen, but really, Mekaradin doesn't have to be a Kohen. The Zohar says that it was dafka a lowlife that they would have to do this, they would dafka not get a chashma person to do this, but part of the Kohen Gadol's avodah is to make the person a shliach, is to give over the seir b'derech shlichus to this person. So says Rav Salvechik, if that's the case, then we could understand a different Gemara that we had just 2 days ago, yesterday's daf. I think I mentioned this in yesterday's daf shir. The Gemara says that the Pasuk says that we give the goat to an ish iti. So what in the world is an ish iti? So the Gemara says, oh, we see from there that afilu b'shabbos, that you don't have to worry about any chil shabbos in doing this, even though normally if the goat is very sick, you're going to have to carry the thing on your back, and that's a violation of carrying something on Shabbos, of Hatzah. Don't worry about it. Afilu b'Shabbos, even if Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos, you can do it. And Iti v'afilu b'tumah. Iti tells us that you do this process of sending the seer l'Azazel, afilu b'tumah, even if you're tameh, even if there's a tumah problem. So says the Gemara, l'may hilchsa, what sort of tumah problem would there be? Who's tameh? Where? Tumah problems happen in the Beis HaMikdash, because you're not allowed to have certain levels of tumah in certain parts of the Beis HaMikdash, depending on the level where you're not allowed to go. Someone who's Tameh Meis is allowed to go in Har HaBayis, but is not allowed to go into the Azara. Someone who's a Zav is not even allowed in Har HaBayis. Fine, so we have all these halachos of tumah v'tahara that you're not allowed to have in the Mikdash. But this Yilah is also being shoved off a cliff somewhere. So that it's docha tumah. What kind of docha tumah? Why would we ever have a tumah issue at all? So let's say this guy, this fellow that we choose to walk this year, is tameh. So what? So what that he's tameh? So says Gemara, my hilchasa, Amrav Sheshes Lomar Shim Nitma Mishalcho, Nichnas Tameh La Azara Umishalcho. If this guy is tameh, granted, when he's walking out with it, that's no problem. But how does he get the animal in the first place? He needs to go into the Azara, the Kohen Gadol does the handoff of the animal to him, then he brings it all the way out to the cliff and he throws it off the cliff. And he's allowed to go into the Azara even if he's Tameh. Because this is part of the Avodas Hayom, that it has to get done. So I ask all the Achronim, what do you mean? Why don't we just have the Kohen Gadol bring it out to him? Or why doesn't somebody else bring it out to him? Why would we be Docha Tumah for absolutely no reason? We just need this guy to get the goat, so he can walk the goat, the 12 miles that he's got to walk it, or wherever he has to, it's not 12 miles, but it's close to it, the 8 miles that he's got to walk with it, to bring it to the cliff. What do we need to let him come into the Azara Bituma for what? So says Rav Salvechik, if you assume that the Mesira of the Seir to this fellow, from the Kohen Gadol to this fellow, it was part of the Avoda, so you can't send it out of the Azara with somebody else. It's an avodas Kohen Gadol that he has to do. The avodah has to be done by the Kohen Gadol. And part of the avodah is to do this Mesirah and to make him your Shaliach. Why don't you have the Kohen Gadol take it outside? Just have the Kohen Gadol take it outside and give it to him. All avodah that the Kohen Gadol does has to be in the Azara. Kohen Gadol can't do avodah chutz la Azara. So if this is a chelik of the avodah, it needs to be done in the Azara. And that's why he would dafka give it to him inside. This kasha is already the kasha of why we don't just send someone else to bring it outside. That was already a kasha Shita Mukbetzas is bothered by. But according to this, it makes a lot of sense. If you look at Rashi on that line, Nichnas Tamei LaAzara. Why Nichnas Tamei LaAzara, says Rashi, Shahakoin Mosro Lo Shah. Because the Kohen is going to give it to him there. What's Rashi adding? Of course, we understand what's going on here. The Kohen Gadol's got to give the goat to this fellow, and the fellow walks it all the way out. And if there's a tumor problem, the Gemara's Mechadesh, the guy's allowed to go into the Azara to get the goat. So, Shakoin Mosro Lo Shah, that the Kohen Gadol gives it to him there. Of course he's giving it to him there. What's Rashi adding? So the Choru, Rashi's adding, is exactly this point. That the Tameh is allowed to go into the Azara because it has to be that he's Mosro Lo Shah. He's only allowed to give it to him there. You can't give it to him anywhere else. Why? Because it's an avoda. An avoda can only be done there in the Azara. So it would turn out that the Kohen Gadol has to make a real shlichus. Part of the avoda Sayom of Yom Kippur is he has to make a real shlichus. He has to make this guy his shliach to bring the goat out to the cliff. L'chora, if that's the case, just parenthetically, you can't send a child or someone who's not a bar shlichus to do this. Even though, according to the Zohar, that it's a lowlife, a nobody, a mukashchin or something, but it has to be someone who can be a shliach, who can halachically be a shliach. That's the question that the Achronim raised with Chaim Eizer as a tshuva about mishloach manos. That if you hold that mishloach manos is dafka dinin shlichus, is a binin sion that the Mishnah Berurah quotes. And Mishloach Manos, Dafka, it's called Mishloach Manos. Why is it Mishloach Manos? Nesinas Manos. You give food to somebody. Why is it Mishloach? So Binyan Sion suggests, the way Mishnah Berurah quotes Binyan Sion at least, he suggests that Dafka has to be with the Shlichus. You have to Dafka send it through a Shaliach in order to be Mekayim the Mitzvah. If you actually look up the Binyan Sion, he doesn't seem to say that, to conclude that way. Mishnah Berurah quotes a Havamin of the Binyan Sion and says maybe we should be Makbid for it. But the way the Binyan Sion says it in the Tshuva is that why does it say Mishloach Manos? What, you think you only Mekayim through a Shliach? Is that why it says Mishloach? It says, no, why does it say Mishloach? Because the mitzvah is in trying to send it even if the guy doesn't receive it. I mean, even if the person says, enough jelly beans already, I have enough candy, just get it away from me. You were still Mekayim the mitzvah, even though the person didn't want it. That plays into the machlokas between the supposed machlokas between the Trumas Sedeshin and the Manos Halevi, what the purpose of Mishloach Manos is. Whether the purpose of Mishloach Manos is to provide someone with Sudas Purim, or it's just, which is what Trumas Sedeshin says, or it's just for Ava Vareos, to show friendship, to make a good gesture of showing friendship. So they say, Nafkamina might be, if you showed Reyos and friendship by giving it to him, but you didn't actually provide him with his Suda because he didn't want it, he sent it back. So that might be enough kamina. So he says, you see a raya that it's called Mishloach Manos, that all you need to do is Shiloach. You don't need him to actually receive it. That's what the Binyan Sion says it really means. But in the Havamina he says, maybe Mishloach means that you dafka have to send a Shliach. So Mishnah Berurah says, maybe we should be Machmir, that when you go around delivering Shloach Manos, don't send your kids in to deliver all the Shloach Manos. They're much cuter than you, but when they go in their little costumes to deliver the Shloach Manos, but it could be that it's Chisarin Yekim HaMitzvah. That you should send dafka at least for one of them send your spouse or a child over bar mitzvah, but you shouldn't send little children maybe, if you want to be machmir for the havamin of the binyan siyam. But that's anything that requires shlichus, requires a bar shlichus, requires someone who's capable of being a shliach. A young child is not capable of being a shliach. So it would come out according to this vort of salvation, not just the vort, this understanding that it's a din in a real shlichus, so it would turn out that you would have to dafka have someone who's really a gadol, who's really a bar shlichus to begin with. Now this would explain why we would wait for the gemar shlichus to read the parsha. It's not that reading the parshios is an avoda; it's not an avoda. But so long as the kohen gadol shliach is doing his shlichus, is doing his bidding. The Kohen Gadol has this mitzvah to make a shliach, he's not allowed to leave the Azara. It's not about that he's not allowed to do another avoda right now. He can do all the avodas he wants right now. He doesn't have to wait till Nasas Mitzvah, so before he does an avoda. He's not allowed to leave the Azara. He can't leave the Azara because while that Avodah is going on for him, he needs to be in the Azara. That's the way you can have an Avodah that's going on all the way out there with the Kohen Gadol, on the Kohen Gadol's behalf, but the Kohen Gadol's still in the Azara. So he's got to be in the Azara the whole time. So the Vart isn't that he can't move on and do any other Avodah until the Nasas Mitzvahs of the Sayyir. He could do other Avodahs before Nasas Mitzvahs of the Sayyir. But he can't do the Kriya, because the Kriya is in the Ezras Nashim. It's outside of the Azara. He's not allowed out of the Azara until Nasas Mitzvasa. In fact, if you look back at the Lashon HaRambam, it seems pretty explicit this way. At the end of source number 4, so what did we say? In Halacha Ches over there, in Paragimel Vaksavot Yom Kippur, Kivan Shehigia Sar LeMidbar. Once the Sari gets to the Midbar, now what can the Kohen Gadol do? So how would you finish the sentence? So previously we would have thought the best way to finish the sentence is Korei Kohen Gadol Beparshios. What's the next word in the Rambam? Kivin Shigia Seal the Midbar? Yetze Kohen Gadol LeEzra Sanashim Likros Bator. The Kohen Gadol goes out to the Ezra Sanashim, because what does the Seir being in the Midbar accomplish? It accomplishes now the Kohen Gadol is allowed out of the Azara. Elamai, once he's out of the Azara, what's he going to do? The logical thing to do is to read the Parsha, because that's the next step in the Avodah Sayom. But what it's really matir, it's matir for the Kohen Gadol to leave the Azara. He needs to be in the Azara the whole time the Avodah is going on for him. Now, if you look in Rashi, Rashi doesn't seem to hold this way. Rashi and Daf Samaches seems to say a little bit differently. Rashi writes that... Where is it? Do I have it here somewhere?
13.
Yeah.
On the fourth page.
Yeah. Amrulo the Kohen Gadol. So they tell the Kohen Gadol, again, this is in tomorrow's daf, they tell the Kohen Gadol, the seer reached the Midbar. So now, according to the Rambam, what does that mean for the Kohen Gadol? Once it reached the Midbar, it means I'm allowed out of the Azara. The whole time I could have been doing Avodah, but I had to stay in the Azara. Says Rashi, She'eno Rashai lahaschil ba'avodah acheres ad shehigi asoyer lemidbar. He's not allowed to do another avodah until the goat gets to the midbar. Only once the goat is in the midbar, now the Kohen Gadol is allowed to do an avodah acheres, another avodah. So a big nafkamina between the Rambam and Rashi. After the guy is sent out and he's walking with the seir, before we have any word that he's reached the midbar, can the Kohen Gadol do other avodahs? According to Rashi, no. According to the Rambam, yes. He just can't leave the Azara. But other avodos in the Azara, if there's what to do, he can do. It turns out that the Rambam is pretty much perfectly lishitasa. If you look in the Rambam, Hilchos Avodos Yom HaKippur, in Paragimel Halacha Vav, which may or may not be here, the Rambam, that one I missed. Okay, can't get them all. The Rambam writes in Paragimel Halacha Vav, the Rambam writes that as soon as the guy leaves, as soon as the fellow who's walking the goat leaves, so immediately the Kohen Gadol is allowed to start with the Haktaras Emunim. He's allowed to start with the burning of the different parts of the par and the sayer, of the sayer l'Hashem and the par. That's a Mishnah in the end of today's daf, which we didn't get to in this morning's shir. That right away he starts preparing. He can't actually burn it yet because he's going to have to change his clothing and tovel and do different things. But right away he could start with that avodah. He could start preparing things for the sreifa of the different parts of the karbanos that he's already brought. That's an avodah. Why is he allowed to start with that? So the Rambam's perfect. As soon as the guy leaves, he doesn't have to wait to do another avodah. He can do an avodah right now. He's just not allowed out of the Azara yet. He's only allowed out of the Azara once he gets the word that the Seir has reached the Midbar. Good, so that fits beautifully with the Rambam. Now, we started with a different Rambam, but we started with a Kasher and a different Rambam. Now that we have all this background, we can go back to the original problem that we had. What was the original problem that we had? On the one hand, we have a Gemara in today's daf that sounded like that. When is it Nasas Mitzvah? So when's the goat finally finished? When is the mitzvah already done with the goat? When it's thrown off the cliff, and that's when the red strand turns white, and that's why you tie the red string to the goat right before you chuck it off of the cliff, because that's when it's Nasas Mitzvaso. On the other hand, we have in tomorrow's daf that as soon as it gets to the Midbar, we tell the goat, oh, we wave the flags, don't worry, Nasas Mitzvaso, it's here in the Midbar already. And the Rambam paskens both of those things. So which is it? When's it Nasas? So Shonim says it's Machlokes. But the Rambam paskens both. So which is it? So now, based on this, we can understand very easily. Says Rav Soloveitchik, and I quoted here the Lashon, the way he says it in Harei Kedem, in source number 14, Umeata kol divrei ha-gemara, k'sav Rabbi Yehuda, kivin shi'igia seir l'midbar, nasas mitzvaso, that when the seer gets to the midbar, it's ready nasas mitzvaso, kavanas ha-gemara la-rambam, the way the Rambam understands what the Gemara is trying to say is, hainu le'inyin mitzvah shiluach ha-shayich l'koyin gadol. Let me give a little more background. Soloveitchik says the way he would answer almost everything, which is that there are tzvei dinim over here. There's a din shiluach of the Kohen Gadol, that the Kohen Gadol has to send this messenger, and that's and his shlichus ends at a certain point. His shlichus ends mishiigia lemidbar. His shlichus ends as soon as the seer reaches the midbar. But then there are dinim in the cheftza shel asayir. There are dinim that have to be done with the goat. That's no longer the shlichus of the Kohen Gadol. That's just part of what has to be done as part of the halachos of what you need to do with the seer la'azazel. That happens, and that achieves kapara, when you chuck it off of the cliff. These are two independent steps. So says Rav Soloveitchik, if you look inside now in the way he quotes it in the Harei Kedem, that again, me'ata kol divrei ha-gemara k'sav Rabbi Yehuda, kivin shehigia seir l'midbar nas mitzvaso kavanas ha-gemara la-rambam, hainu linin mitzvah sashiluach. When we say that if it gets to the midbar, it's a regular nasas mitzvah, so what mitzvah is that talking about? That's talking about the mitzvah of shiluach, hashayich l'koyin gadol, which is connected to the koyin gadol. Dekima dekvar neskaima mitzvah shiluach shebeseder avodas yom shal koyin gadol, alkein shapir mishegiya asir l'midbar, nasas mitzvah. So as soon as the part that relates to the koyin gadol is over, so klape the Kohen Gadol, it's considered Nasas Mitzvaso. And what happens when the Kohen Gadol is done, when it's Nasas Mitzvaso, klape the Kohen Gadol? Umutel lalates min azara. He's allowed to leave the azara, k'day likros petor, and start reading the parshiyos. Ulam, be'emes adayin lo nigmra v'nishalma mitzvah shiluach ad d'chil tzok. The whole process of what needs to be done with the sa'ir isn't over until you chuck it off of the cliff. Afil Rabbi Yehuda. But that's a different din. That's a din in the chevtza shel asayir, not in the shlichus of the Kohen Gadol. That about the sayir, there has to be a dechiel etzok. The gam rabbi the mode the chetziv kosher b'sela the chetziv ben karna. The albanas haloshen shel zoros he rak after dechiel etzok. And certainly that you even if you hold Nasas Mitzvah, so once it gets to the midbar, you still need to tie the red string before you chuck it off of the cliff. Because that's a second stage that doesn't relate to the Kohen Gadol, but relates to the mitzvah of the goat. Shekvar Nasa Sayyir Avonosum Shal Eleret Kazerov in Iskaima Mitzvah Shulach Lagamri Vinashalma Kapara. It's only then that we say, now the kapara is complete, now Klal Yisrael has their complete kapara, the thing turns white. V'chein ma shekasav ha-Rambam da mishalech mitame begadim. Well, we didn't even get to that part, so we'll leave that part out. So he says it would turn out, according to this, that where would we get this idea from, that there are these two stages? So the whole middle part of what we said introduced us to the concept that sending the seer out is not just something that we do. It's not just stam, a mitzvah, and the goat. That it's part of the avodah of the Kohen Gadol. Now, there are two ways you could look at that. You could say, okay, so we misunderstood what the seer was all about before. Before we thought it was just a mitzvah in the seer, now we were in the hour of Soloveitchik, opened our eyes, and we see that it's clearly an avodah of the Kohen Gadol, of doing the mesira and the shiluach, it's all part of the Kohen Gadol's avodah. That's one way to look at it. But the other way to look at it is to say, maybe we were right originally. Maybe there is such a din of the seer, of doing this thing with the seer, of a din in the seer itself. And maybe it's also a din in the avodah of the Kohen Gadol. And we just have to figure out where each din begins and ends. So the din of the Kohen Gadol, the Shulach of the Kohen Gadol, happens in the Azara with the Mesira, and that's why we let the Tameh guy come in order for the Kohen Gadol to do the handoff to him, so that we can have that part of the Avodah. And the Kohen Gadol is locked up in the Azara, may not leave the Azara until his Shlichus is over. When does that part end? As soon as it gets Lamidbar. But there's still a din in the Sayer in general, of whatever halachas you have of the sire. So the halachas of the sire still apply until it's actually shoved off of a cliff. The halachas of the sire is what actually achieves the kapara for Klal Yisrael. And Soloveitchik says, if you look at the psukim carefully, you'll really see that it's pretty much in the psukim. In the outline, I quoted the Pesukim, not in the Mar Makomos section, but in the, if you look toward the on page one of the packet over here, in C1, the two Pesukim, the Din Shiluach of the Kohen Gadol, that ends Mishigia the Midbar as soon as here gets to the Midbar. Tomorrow's Daf's Halacha is learned from the Pasuk, the Samach Aaron, the Chulei, the Nasno, it starts with Aaron HaKohen, right? So it starts with the Kohen Gadol. V'nasno sam al rosh ha'seir, v'shalach biyad ish iti hamid bara. What's Aaron's job? Send the seir with the ish iti hamid bara. What does hamid bara mean? Rashi all over Chumash always says when you have the hey, it really is a. It means it's like a lamed at the beginning of a letter, the hey at the end. Hamid bara means le midbar, to the midbar. So when's Aaron HaKohen's job over? When the goat reaches the midbar. That's the Aaron job. That's the Kohen Gadol's job. What's the other pasuk? The din in the chefts of the soyer itself. So it says the pasuk, v'nasa ha-soyer is kalav anosam el eretz gezerah. The seir carries all of the sins of the Jewish people el eretz gezerah, which, by the way, today's Dav Yomi, Dav Samu Zayin says, what does eretz gezerah mean? It means where it gets dismembered, where it falls off of the cliff and it gets broken up into a million pieces, or it means a hard cliff which is very steep, and it's clearly referring to the very last stop, where it's actually going to get thrown off of the cliff. V'yishalach es ha-soyer ba-midbar. Not la midbar, ba midbar. What's the difference? It's already in the midbar. And then we have this mitzvah to do. That doesn't relate to Aaron, doesn't relate to the Kohen Gadol. Stam a mitzvah, relates to Klal Yisrael. Avonosam, it's kol avonosam. It's carrying all the avonos of Klal Yisrael. And that mitzvah is done ba midbar. Once it's already in the midbar, el eretz gezerah, to the point where it gets dismembered. So these two dinim, sometimes you have brisk alumnus and you're like, okay, is it, isn't it, you know, is it emes? Is it? It's in the psukim that there are two dinim over here. There's the din of the shiluach of the Kohen Gadol, and then there's the din of the seir itself. So once it arrives in the midbar, Kohen Gadol has finished his mitzvah shiluach, and he's allowed to leave the azara. Good. One more ha'ara about Tzir Mishlech, somewhat unrelated. But also from Rav Soloveitchik's Torah that I thought was very beautiful about Tzir Mishlech. There's a troubling Tosfos, Masechta Shavuos, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Tosfos says that the Tzir Mishlech is mechaper, not just for averos that we've already done earlier that day, or earlier that year, at any time during the year, averos that we haven't yet done on Yom Kippur. Let's say they get to the Tzir Mishlech at 11 o'clock in the morning, and the guy does an avera at 12 o'clock. 1 o'clock. So the Tzir Mishlech is mechaper for that too. Says Tosfos. If you look in Tosfos, source number 15. Avalach v'shluch Tzir lo masi l'kmush u'mechaper kol ha-yom. V'yavagav d'mashmol ha-shein karbonos mechaper al averu shalach. Normally karbonos are not mechaper for averu shalach afterwards. Afilu bo b'yom, even if it's the same day. Damar nafkamina l'tumah shira bein zelazeh. Shiny seira mishtalech tichsiv bei ki bayom azay yechaper aleichem letahereschem mikol chatoseichem. By the seira mishtalech it says bayom hazeh, this day you're getting a kapara from all of your sins. Sounds like kol hayom it's mechaper, even stuff that you do later. Unbelievable that you could buy a
rollover
minutes. Yeah, you could get an advance on the avera. And what's his raya? Because the pasuk says, "Ki bayom hazeh yichaper lechem letahir eschem mikol chatoseichem." So three kashas Rav Soloveitchik asked in this tosos. First of all, it's the first time we ever heard of such a thing that karbana that you get rollover minute. That karbanas, a carbon that serves as a mechaper is going to be mechaper for an avera that you haven't yet done. Let's say, can I just be one of the basics in kachim? Is you could bring such a thing as an olas nedava, shalmei nedava. You can volunteer karbanol karban shlamim. No such thing as a chatos nedava. That's what the poskim say, that when you say karbanos in the morning, don't say a parsha of chatas, because you can't bring a chatas unless you chayev a chatas. If you chayev a chatas, say the parsha of chatas. But if you're not, you can't say it. So you can't. There's no chayev chatas. So you're gonna volunteer a chatas now, just in case you do an avera later. It doesn't work. Second of all, the pasuk that he's quoting is not about the seir. It's about the itzum shel yom. It's about the fact that Yom Kippur, the itzum shel yom itself, is mechaper. And third, there's a machlokes tanaim whether the seir la'azazel is mechaper for kohanim also or only for Yisraelim. Rabbi Shimon Shita is that no, the seir la'azazel is only for Yisraelim. The kohanim get covered with the par shel Yom Kippurim. And that's why in the vidui of the par, the Kohen Gadol mentions kohanim. He doesn't mention kohanim in the vidui of the seir. But wait a second. Only the seir has a future kapara. No one ever said anything about the par getting a future kapara. So that's a little fair, as they say in Hebrew, right? That's not, how's that going to work? Yisrael could still do averus, and he's covered with the earlier carbon. But not a Kohen. A Kohen doesn't get that same deal. So what's pshat? So again, says Rav Salavitchik, there's tzvei dinim over here. The seir la'azazel has two elements to it. It's a kapara like a karban, al yidei vidui. That's one element. And then there's a kapara schutz al yidei shiluach. What's the difference between the two? So the kapara bifnim is part of the avodah seyam, it's like every other karban, and that's going to be ma'akev. You need to do that. The shiluach b'chutz is not part of the avodas hayom, and therefore it's not ma'akev. The kapara bifnim is a karban. What's the rule of a karban? It's only mechaper l'shaita. It's only mechaper for things you've done already. The kapara b'chutz is shiluach. That's not part of the avoda. That's part of itzumah shel Yom HaKippurim. Itzumah shel Yom HaKippurim is mechaper. Nowadays we don't have a seir la'azazel. So what's mechaper? Itzumah shel Yom is mechaper. We don't have a seir la'azazel to help. But when we had a base of Mikdash, it was the combination of Itzumah shel Yom with seir mishleach that was mechaper together. That's why Tosus quotes the pasuk of Ki b'yom hazeh yechaper lechem. He quotes the pasuk about the Yom being mechaper in connection to the seir because he's talking about that second din. Kohanim have the same deal as Yisrael. In terms of that second din, the seir la'azazel is for sure for Kohanim also. Part of the Yitzumah shel Yom, they get to experience Yom Kippur. It's only in the din Korban Shabbat that it's limited to Yisraelim. That's where Rabbi Shimon says it's limited to Yisraelim, and it doesn't go for Kohanim. So he says that's perhaps the Pshat in Tosos, this dual element of the Seir Mishtalech. Okay. Tomorrow we'll get, next week we'll go to a more halacha l'maisa topic.